title of today's study is, What is Man? What is Man? There are two generally accepted answers to the question as to what is a human. The first answer people might give is that a human is a physical being, a product or byproduct of evolution, something that occurred over billions of years, and that man is just another animal. And when a human dies, at the end of his life, that's the end of his existence. When people believe that, and they're asked, well, what's the purpose of life? They may say, well, there's no purpose of life. Or they may say that the purpose of life is just to be happy, or maybe to make other people happy during this short existence. Second concept of what a human is, it's believed by many people, in that man has an immortal soul trapped in a physical body. What is the truth? Is either of these correct? In this study, I'll answer the question, what is man? First, look at what man is not. Let's look at what man is not. The concept of an immortal soul, you could say, began 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2. Adam and Eve were the first humans created. They were put in this garden called the Garden of Eden. And let's start reading Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it, keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. These are very clear instructions from God. If they ate from that tree, they would die. Then you go on to Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent, that was Satan the devil, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Eve understood the instructions. And the serpent said to the woman in verse 4, You will not surely die. Satan was saying that she was immortal, and he was implying, in a sense, that she had an immortal soul. This is where the first concept of man's immortality came about, from Satan the devil himself. The concept of an immortal soul was well known throughout the ancient world, well known in ancient Egypt and Babylon. Socrates went to Egypt, where he learned about it. He taught Plato. Plato wrote that death is a separation of the body and soul. Other philosophers like Aristotle and Virgil believed it as well. And this idea even continued into what we call the Christian era. Origen, a Catholic teacher in Alexandria, Egypt, taught about an immortal soul. Tertullian taught about an immortal soul also, and even quoted Plato. And there's also Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, and others. Martin Luther wrote that there was not an immortal soul. Although it's interesting that most people who attend the churches that have his name do believe in an immortal soul. William Tyndale, the first printer of the New Testament in English, asked a very profound question. He asked, if a soul is in heaven, why do you need a resurrection? So he understood there is no immortal soul either. Let's see what the Bible says. After all, the Bible is a source of spiritual knowledge. You see is that instead of having an immortal soul, man became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In the Old King James Version, man became a living soul. And that soul, that number is number 5315, a breathing creature or the life of animals. Doesn't say anything about some immortal existence. And notice that God was forming man of the dust of the ground. That's what man is, something made of the dust of the ground. As God's fingers scraped together the dust of the earth in the form of Adam, it must have been very exciting throughout the universe. Never had such a thing been done in all the universe, all the time the universe existed. The climax of billions of years of planning and effort had been reached. As his hands worked with the soil, his mind must have been racing. The awesome mind and intellect of God knew that from this point forward, there'd be no turning back. Their word could not be broken, and they must not fail. They were about to give life to a human being and to all who would follow. the most awesome project ever imagined, with all the attendant joys and sorrow, would now roll forward. We can only imagine as the Word God and the Father looked at one another knowingly, and the Father nodded to go ahead. What a moment it must have been when the Word, by whom all things were created, bent over a pile of dirt and breathed into Adam's nostrils, and the chest began to rise and fall, the heart pump, and the eyes opened. No wonder God had to rest on the seventh day. And no wonder they proclaimed that day of the week holy forever as they contemplated what they had just done. The man became a living being. In King James, it says a living soul. He became a living soul. It doesn't say he has an immortal soul. That word soul, as I mentioned, number 5315, breathing creature, it's translated differently in other places, like Genesis 1, verse 20. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures being number 5315 in the Strong's Concordance, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. My marginal reference in the New King James translates that word living creatures as an alternate as souls. It's interesting, isn't it? It's the same word. It's proving that there are two ways of translating that word, and neither one of them means immortal soul. So it's not stating here that man has an immortal soul. Now Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Learn something else about this word soul. 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Repeat it again in verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. Shows again that we do not have an immortal soul. We are created as humans in the image of God. This is what else the Bible says about us as humans. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Very important to know that we're created in the image and likeness of God. We're the same form. If we read elsewhere in the Bible, God has hands and feet and a head and a back, just like we do. And God has similar emotions to what we have, like love and joy and anger. These are emotions that we read in the Bible. We also understand that that occurs with humans, too. We also realize that if we're going to be in God's image and likeness completely, we even want to have the character of God, the character of love, outgoing concern. It says God is love. That's the primary characteristic of God. And we're created with the ability to develop that love, too. Now, God had to do one more thing with Adam and Eve. He could have said there's no way he was going to let the serpent, Satan, the devil, into the garden. But if he did that, Adam and Eve would not have been tested. They needed to have free will, and by their free will, want to obey what God was saying. They had to make a choice how they were going to live. And he told them which tree to eat from, which tree not to eat from, but they had a choice. He didn't make robots. He didn't make computers that would do only what they're programmed to do. They had a free will, just as God has a free will. And he wanted beings that would choose of their own free will to do the right thing. Choosing right over wrong, good over evil. As we read about man, we understand now that he doesn't have an immortal soul, but yet there's talk of a spirit in man in the Bible. Let's read about that. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Yes, this is a God who stretched out the heavens. He created a trillion galaxies, each of which with 100 billion stars, much more great than anything we can imagine. And then having such complexity that we, again, can't imagine it because each planet around the stars has a composition of atoms, protons, neutrons, and electrons. And each of those is made of subatomic particles. Amazingly complicated in structure. And this is all what God has done, what he has created. And then he's created life, something that can't possibly happen by accident. The chance of even forming a simple protein is infinitesimal, much less a complicated human being. He designed all these things and created all these things, and he created man, and he put the spirit of man in him. He put that spirit essence, that's what we like to call it. Another place where the spirit of man is referred to is in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Picking up the story here, the Israelite nation had broken up into two kingdoms, the Israelite kingdom and the Jewish kingdom. The Israelite kingdom in the north was taken captive by the Assyrians in the 8th century. And then, something over 100 years later, the Jewish nation was taken captive by the Babylonians. Then, the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. Now we pick up the story in Ezra 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. So he made a proclamation through all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, etc. And the proclamation was that the Jews should return to Jerusalem and Judah. Here, talking about stirring up the spirit of Cyrus, that spirit in a man. The term is used elsewhere too. Job chapter 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Spirit in man is here being associated with receiving understanding. Now, lest we go too far with this and say that a person is not a human until they've taken their first breath, which some people say, look at Luke 1, verse 41. Here is where one by the name of Elizabeth was pregnant, and she was 6 months pregnant. Her son was to be John the Baptist. And her cousin Mary was pregnant with the one who would become Jesus Christ. She just recently become pregnant. They visited each other. Luke 1, verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. Now here is showing that this fetus, some would say, has intelligence. John the Baptist somehow knew that Jesus Christ was there. There was intelligence, that he could be inspired to know that. So let's remember that a person is a human from conception, not from taking the first breath. Talking about the spirit in man, as we continue, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. And as I've said before, if you want to take a little bit of liberty with this, it says, no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man. In English, we would have trouble with this. You might say, what man knows the things of a man except, and then put another person's name in there, that would make more sense. But to put it in this form, it makes a little more sense to say, with another definition of the word except, for what man knows the things of a man with the exclusion of the spirit of a man, which is in him. In other words, we don't know the things of a man unless we have the spirit in man. That's what causes us to understand the things that we do. We have that spirit of man in us. Ephesians 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. It talks about the spirit of our mind. Same spirit in man that we've been talking about. We start putting these together and we realize that, yes, there's a spirit in man, a spirit of your mind. You need to understand that the human mind is this human spirit plus the brain, of course. It includes the brain because, as we know, you can put electrodes on a person's head and detect activity going on in the brain. So there's something going on in there. The brain is part of the mind. It's not just the spirit. We see here is that the spirit in man, this non-physical essence, has something to do with being a human, with having the intelligence of a human. Many animals have brains that are almost as big as humans or maybe even bigger, but they don't have the intelligence. It's the spirit essence that makes the difference. Man has physical and mental material knowledge because of the brain and then that spirit essence. He can work with things. You can build a building. You can plan things. 50 years ago, humans put 2 men on the moon. We have our computers. We have our smartphones. All these things that people know how to do are all working with physical things. They can learn science, learn understand the laws of physics, of the universe, chemistry, biology, mathematics, and they apply it as technology to make our lives easier and better, more convenient. I'm an engineer. I use science and mathematics with my brain and my spirit and man, making up my mind. Humans develop a culture and art, beautiful music. We really enjoy these things and marvel at how some people have such beautiful minds that they can compose such beautiful pieces of music or paint such beautiful pictures and make such beautiful sculptures. It's the human mind, the composer of the brain, and the spirit in man. It's not instinct. It's something different. Animals have instinct. I worked on a dairy farm years ago, and I'd watch the calves being born. And the ones who were strong enough, they immediately, instinctively wanted to stand up. Now, for most children, it takes about a year to learn to walk. We don't have that instinct. We have to be taught everything. The spirit in man certainly is not instinct. The spirit in man enables humans to be self-aware. We know we exist. We know those around us. We also realize that we need to make an attempt at morality and try to understand ethics, to understand what's right and wrong. We think about why we do things when we make choices. We call it free moral agency. Adam and Eve had that free moral agency with that spirit in man. They made a decision to choose right or wrong. We wonder why we're born, what's the purpose of life. We try to have a relationship with other people and sometimes fail because it's a spiritual relationship when you think about it. The Bible teaches us how to have relationships with other people. Humans want to have a relationship with God or a God. They can figure out that much at least. Although people don't really understand all the details of who and what God is unless they are able to look it up in the Bible, which we have another study on. Humans try to understand some of the beautiful thoughts of God. The spirit essence records the memory of a person and returns to God when he dies. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit returned to God who gave it. Shows that our spirit, the human spirit, does return to God, and he keeps it. At some point there's a resurrection. When that happens, God will use that spirit and record the memories of what we had, our personality, everything about us. Man with his mind, which is the brain plus the spirit essence, is really not complete. Some would say he's only half there. There is more to it than that because the spirit essence is able to combine with God's Holy Spirit to make us members of God's family. We'll have more on that in another study, including what our potential is. So what is a human? A man is a physical being made of dust, temporary and chemical in nature. He's created in the image and likeness of God. In other words, he looks like God. We have a mind that consists of a brain and a spirit essence that gives us our intelligence and our self-awareness. God's Holy Spirit will combine with our human spirit to make us part of the members of the family of God. This is knowledge that the evolutionists and many traditional Christians simply do not have.